Here's something we rarely admit. The qualities that make us successful are often the very ones that destroy us. Think about it. Confidence becomes arrogance. Ambition turns into recklessness. Strength morphs into invincibility. This ancient pattern, visible in figures from Samson to modern celebrities, reveals an uncomfortable truth. Power doesn't corrupt randomly. It follows a predictable path, one we can trace through history's wreckage of fallen leaders, disgraced athletes, and humiliated executives. What if the same traits that elevate us to greatness contain the seeds of our downfall? Understanding this paradox isn't just academic, it's survival. We all start with guardrails. As children, we had playpens and parental rules. As adults, we have laws, professional ethics, and personal values. These boundaries aren't arbitrary. They're protection against our worst impulses. Samson had three simple rules: no alcohol, no contact with corpses, no haircuts. Yet he treated them like suggestions, believing his exceptional strength would always bail him out of trouble. Sound familiar? It's the executive who thinks expense account rules don't apply to him. The married professional who believes just coffee with an attractive colleague is harmless. The pattern always starts small. A minor compromise here, a tiny exception there. Each violation without immediate consequence emboldens the next. Consider what happened to Samson when he visited a prostitute in enemy territory. Philistine soldiers surrounded the house, planning to kill him at dawn. He escaped, barely. But instead of recognizing the wake-up call, he doubled down on risky behavior. That's the trap. When we get away with boundary violations, we don't learn caution. We learn confidence in our ability to escape consequences. The reckoning comes in two waves. First, the behavior that once felt liberating becomes a prison. What starts as, "I can handle it," becomes, "I can't stop." Rehab centers overflow with people who never intended to become addicted, just as therapy offices fill with those who never meant to destroy their marriages. Second comes public exposure. As King David discovered after his affair with Bathsheba, secret sins have a way of becoming public scandals. We meet Samson not planning military strategy, but wandering an enemy village, checking out women. When his parents questioned his interest in a pagan woman, Samson dismissed them. "She looks good to me." Animal instinct overrode human reason. Yet we're designed for face-to-face intimacy, where romance matters and relationships transcend mere biology. More devastatingly, lust derails divine calling. Samson should have been Moses 2.0, the great deliverer of Israel. Instead, he was perpetually distracted by physical gratification, measuring for wedding tuxedos when he should have been planning the enemy's defeat. Today's version looks different but follows the same script: pornography, emotional affairs conducted through texts, secret behaviors that consume mental energy meant for meaningful work. Breaking free requires radical honesty. Confess completely without minimizing. Eliminate access to temptation. Seek outside help. Willpower alone rarely succeeds. And fill the void with productive activity. Living with hidden sexual behavior means constant fear of discovery. Recovery requires four steps. Remember the peace that comes from living within proper boundaries. Renounce activities that pull you outside them. Rebuild the protective fences you've trampled, and embrace complete forgiveness when you genuinely turn back. Samson's parents warned him against marrying a pagan woman from an enemy nation. His response? "Get her for me. She is the one I want." Their decades of wisdom meant nothing against his certainty. This pattern repeats endlessly. Strong people, accustomed to being right, struggle to accept guidance. Yet the truly great understand counsel's value. Tiger Woods relied on coach Butch Harmon to spot flaws invisible to himself. Presidents surround themselves with advisors not from weakness, but wisdom. Selecting advisors wisely matters tremendously. Listen to those who disagree. They stretch your thinking. Heed those who genuinely love you, even when familiarity breeds bluntness. Seek counsel from people who've actually achieved what you're pursuing. Taking marriage advice from someone divorced four times makes zero sense. Value wisdom over credentials and prioritize those who know scripture deeply. Effective listening requires discipline. Reserve judgment, resist interrupting, remain calm, paraphrase what you heard, reflect through prayer, then receive or reject the counsel. Strong people excel at talking, barking orders, commanding rooms, dominating conversations. But God gave us two ears and one mouth because He intended us to listen twice as much as we speak. Samson thought he was brilliant, challenging his Philistine groomsmen with an impossible riddle, wagering 30 expensive outfits on their failure. What he didn't anticipate? They'd threaten to burn his bride alive unless she extracted the answer. His supposed cleverness created the crisis that would define his life. Strong people consistently overestimate their intelligence while underestimating their vulnerabilities. Seven deadly enemies destroy discernment. Pride makes us overconfident and dismissive. Alcohol clouds judgment. Anger leads to catastrophic choices. Lust destroys careers and marriages. Greed drives successful people to risk everything through fraud. Hatred motivates pranks that accidentally kill. Impatience causes us to speed through life, creating unnecessary danger. Joseph's response to Potiphar's wife reveals four secrets of discernment. Look around. Recognize your blessings and privileged position. Look within. Even hidden sins damage self-respect. Look forward. Consider whether viable futures exist. Look up. Remember sin offends the divine. Had Samson used these perspectives, his life might have rivaled Moses in greatness. When Samson discovered his groomsmen had blackmailed his wife, fury consumed him. He killed 30 men, took their belongings to pay his debt, and stormed off. Though God's Spirit empowered this rampage, Samson's motivation wasn't righteous. He was satisfying revenge, not glorifying God. Strong men throughout history have employed this scorched earth approach because anger works. People fear you, give you what you want, and tread carefully around you. It also delivers an adrenaline rush that makes it genuinely addictive. Like any addiction, anger requires escalation, from raised voices to thrown objects to physical violence. It produces collateral damage, wounding innocent bystanders, especially children who internalize rage as normal. Most devastatingly, anger stunts spiritual growth. You can never grow stronger than your biggest weakness. Controlling anger requires focusing on what's true and honorable rather than what's enraging. Another strategy, loosen your grip on money, which generates tremendous anger over bills, inheritances, and perceived unfairness. These strategies don't eliminate all anger. Righteous anger exists and matters, but true strength lies in restraint. As Proverbs teaches, it is better to be patient than powerful. It is better to have self-control than to conquer a city. Despite his catastrophic first marriage, where his wife nagged incessantly, betrayed his secret, and was given to another man, Samson incredibly attempted reconciliation. Later, he allowed Delilah to extract his secret exactly as his first wife had extracted his riddle. Same pattern, same devastation. Why do gifted people repeatedly sabotage their potential? Even the strongest remain fundamentally human with inherent weaknesses. Paul confessed in Romans, "I can't make myself do right. I want to, but I can't. In a personal experiment, I tried going one day without disappointing God. I failed after 37 minutes. This is why we need grace beyond ourselves. Breaking repetitive failure requires four steps. First, partner with someone who will hold you accountable. Unlike biblical heroes who had companions, Samson was perpetually alone, making him vulnerable. Second, abandon your rationalizations and claim the power available in Christ. Third, align your life with Scripture. Trying to live righteously without biblical guidance is like chalking a straight baseball line without a string. You'll always drift crooked. Finally, surrender completely to the Holy Spirit. Though Samson used God's power for physical feats, he never employed it against temptation. Surprisingly, Samson's story doesn't end in rubble. He appears in Hebrews 11 among heroes who overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised. This isn't revisionist history, it's divine grace. After examining Samson's failures, I'm in awe of a God gracious enough to use someone so flawed. If I were in charge, I would have given up on Samson around his 25th birthday. But God persisted, confirming that the Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. Still, Samson's life remains a study in squandered potential. Perhaps no one in Scripture did so little with so much. There's a little Samson in all of us. We're capable of great things with divine help, yet never more than one bad choice away from humiliation. Consider Lou Gehrig, baseball's iron horse, who called himself the luckiest man on the face of the earth, despite facing terminal ALS, showing that strong people can be humble and grateful. In a world that worships strength and rewards ruthlessness, true power lies in the character to use gifts wisely, the humility to seek good counsel, and the wisdom to stay within proper boundaries. Your greatest strength isn't what you can do, it's what you choose not to do.